Children's Church is dismissed. I have a tendency to smack things, so we're moving that out of the way. Well, I appreciate it, Jason reading the verses this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. We're going to go back over them again and then move on in to our study. You might have noticed if you took out your bulletin insert that the title is Suffering and Comfort. And hopefully we'll work through that. We're not going to get every single aspect of it, but we will do our best to encourage one another through God's Word this morning. Well, let's pray and then we'll get into the text. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for the joy that you give to us. We thank you that you comfort us. And Lord, help us in our understanding of your word, for it's the word that has the power. And so, Lord, we just ask that you do your mighty work this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. You know, I have to admit that when I chose this text to teach on, it was mostly because it was kind of a squirrel moment for me, you know. It was something that caught my eye, and I went, huh, that's interesting. And so all the times that it says comfort in this text, comfort, 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 and how it's used in that context, and how Paul uses it to encourage this church, the Corinthian church, which had major issues. I mean, God had blessed them over and over again with spiritual gifts, but there was also a hard-heartedness. There was an issue there. There was a pride issue that he was dealing with in 1 Corinthians, and it seems to have, at least to some extent, been resolved between the writing of these letters. And this letter is encouraging, much more so than the first letter to the Corinthians. So Paul talks about comfort, talks about affliction. And he talks about how that affliction or that suffering brings comfort. We're reminded in Acts chapter 14, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds that they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And I'm sure that was right on his mind. I mean, he had basically died. Of all evidence, and everyone coming around and looking at Paul after he had been stoned, and the purpose of stoning was not just to, you know, just to say, well, you did a few bad things. we're just going to hit you with a pebble. No, the purpose of stoning was death. And so we have to imagine or understand that probably he survived because God wanted him to survive. God directed him to survive. God directed him to heal. And he moved on. And then as he moves on and he continues to preach, he says this: through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. That no one be moved by these afflictions or this suffering. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. We are destined as believers, as Christians, for this, for suffering. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Romans chapter 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. And so he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. Returning to John chapter 14, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him. And have seen him. So he comforts us. He comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And I like that, that we can comfort those who are in any affliction. Perhaps the suffering that we are going through is not the same as the suffering that the person that we are ministering to is going through. I mean, that's what's alluded here. It's any affliction. It's anything that that person is going through. We have a similar story to tell. Might not be exactly the same thing, but the comfort is the same. The source of the comfort is the same. In Matthew chapter 24, then they will deliver you up to tribulation or affliction or suffering and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Yes, sign me up. That's where I want to be. But you know, the Bible tells us, God's word tells us that is it. When Christ comes into your life, you are going to suffer. There's going to be affliction. Now, does that mean that you are going to face suffering worse than an unbeliever? Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Depends on what God's direction is for your life and how he's going to work through that with you. But trust me, we all suffer. We all suffer. Why do we suffer? Because of sin. You remember Adam and Eve, when God created Adam and then he saw how worthless he was without a wife, he gave him a wife. And then, and only then, ladies, be encouraged by this, did God say everything was what? Very good. But then, Then sin came in. And all of us face that. And we face a sin-sick world. And so illness, sickness, tragedies, troubles, trials, tribulations, all those things that come into our lives are because of sin. And they're common to everyone. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Who? God. God comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, who are suffering, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so we learn something through our affliction. We gain something through our suffering so that we can minister to others. Moving on to verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. I like that I serve a God who gives us the bad news first and then follows up with amazing news. Unbelievable good. Unbelievable blessing. Later on in 2 Corinthians, Paul has a list. And I don't know about you, I've faced some suffering in my life. I'm sure you have too. And some of it you talk about and some of it you don't. Some of it you share and some of it you hold close. But here Paul says this, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, that pretty much covers everybody in the world, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. That word pressure, maybe you've felt that. But that idea or concept of pressure is kind of the same, along the same lines as how they would squeeze grapes to drive the last of the juice out of that fruit. The pressure. And he felt that, and he was anxious for the churches because he knew that time was short. See, the apostles believed Christ was coming very soon, very, very soon. And so their responsibility and what he had given to them as their responsibility was to share him with them, with the whole world, to share Christ, and then to go back and help them as a church, as a body of believers, to grow in Christ. And Paul was always questioning himself, have I done enough? Have I sent the right people? Is so-and-so really, really living for the Lord? And so his prayer life was a burden. He was burdened by prayers. I'm sure he was relieved after prayer, having given it to the Lord, but there was a pressure there. And again, maybe you have felt that. Whether it's work or finances or physical issues, things that you've struggled with, maybe there's somebody that you just are struggling with a relationship with, and that just pushes on you, presses you down. And Paul says this. Now, God had given Paul a vision of heaven. And we have to remember, Paul was just like us. He was just a man. But he said this. After this vision of heaven, or perhaps he was even there, he doesn't know. He says in chapter 12, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh. Thank you, God! A messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, hold on to that. Have you ever felt so beaten down that you felt powerless? Yes. Yes. That's exactly where God wanted you. That's where he wanted you. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The saddest thing is to see a prideful Christian. Christian just puffed up. Christian just walking around with her nose in the air, looking down on everyone else because they've got it. They got it figured out, man. Trust me, we don't have it figured out. But I heard once that when we look around us and we see folks that are struggling and we see folks that are new in their faith and we start to pray, Lord, use me somehow in that person's life, that's a dangerous prayer. Why is that? Because God might just drive you to your knees. Just drive you, pressure you, so that you have to rely on him, go through suffering, go through affliction, go through trouble, so that he can comfort you. Ha-ha! Now you have the tools to go and comfort that person. God doesn't want a bunch of prideful believers out there reproducing themselves. That's dangerous. I mean, that's it. That's it. The church might as well close its doors if it's a bunch of prideful Christians making more prideful Christians. But let us boast, Paul says, even more gladly, that in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he continues, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses. I'm content with insults. I'm content with hardships and persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We return back to our original text, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Now, that word salvation, you know, is used in many, many ways. Being saved from this, being saved from that. Paul's list of all of the dangers and troubles and trials and shipwrecks and all of that, he could have said, God saved me from all of this. There was salvation involved. And it's not spiritual salvation in that context. It's actually physically getting him out of the situation. And that's what Paul's talking about here. It is for your comfort and salvation that God will move you out of that situation. That God will take you out of that. Not necessarily that you get saved, because we're hoping that that's already taken place, but God will use that as well to bring someone to Christ. But God will get you out of that situation, but you have to go through that situation. And if we are comforted, Paul says, it is for your comfort. Now, what a concept. We're not alone, folks. We as a church body are responsible for each other. The body is made up of many parts. If you stub your toe, the whole body hurts. If someone is suffering in the whole body should hurt. And yet, the whole body has been comforted in their own suffering so that we can comfort, as a body, can comfort those who are in need. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Now, there was persecution going on. Paul is concerned about that. And how is the church going to react to that? How are these believers, this body of believers, going to handle all the things that God is allowing to come their way? And he says that our hope is unshaken. Speaking of a foundation, it's something that cannot be shaken. You see, God has displayed undeserved mercy to us. He's the origin of mercy. He also has made comfort available to us. God is the origin of comfort. Suffering brings comfort, folks. God's comfort brings strength in weakness. I like this kind of wrap-up here in verses 8 through 11, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. That's Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. You know, you hear folks say, well, God won't give you anything more than you can handle. No. 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 Don't believe it. He will crush you unless you turn to him. Paul says, we despaired of life. Now, you'd think Paul would be God's favorite. I mean, he's really working for God. He's doing all that he can for God. He's reaching into relationships and into people groups and speaking to them. And he's willing to give his life for God, for the good of the gospel. And he says, we despaired of life. Well, you shouldn't have, Paul. Come on, don't you know God will only give you what you can handle? And Paul's like, baloney! We couldn't handle it! I couldn't handle it! I couldn't take it one day more! But God lifted me up We felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. If I was within one breath, one heartbeat of death, and God wanted me to continue, He would revive me and I would continue. Do you believe that? Brothers and sisters, do you believe that? That God has work for you to do and that He will keep you moving, keep you working until that work is accomplished. He will give you the strength. He will give you the comfort. He delivered us, Paul continues, from such a deadly peril. And He will deliver us. Paul is assured of that. On Him we've set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer. Oh, it's so encouraging that you must help us by prayer. Listen, that's what all of us can do. All of us can do. Maybe you're not suffering right now. Maybe you don't even know of someone who's suffering. Maybe you don't really know what comfort is. Maybe you don't really know how God can work in the life, in the heart of someone. Maybe you don't really know that, but you can still pray. And you're saying to yourself, well, I don't know how to help that person. I don't know. Well, just pray. That's what he says here. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer. Not that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Paul said there's opposition, and okay, yeah, there's more opposition. But your prayer makes a difference. I praise God that we are a praying church, amen? I mean, that's old Southern Baptist stuff, right? Amen! You got to answer me. Come on. All I'm hearing is, amen. We're a praying church. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God answers prayer? All right, getting a little Pentecostal here now. But and all because of sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You have been made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. By who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen, do you know Jesus this morning? Have you trusted Him? Do you know where to run to when you are suffering? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that God hears your prayers because you are His through Jesus Christ, our Lord? Have you confessed your sins? Have you repented of your sins? Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in Him? I mean, you should be getting fired up right now. Yes, amen. Listen, you have everything that you need in order to live a life that's pleasing to God. And not only that, but a generous life, a comforted life where you can comfort others, a life where when affliction and suffering and pain comes in, you can say, God, you got this. It may crush me, but nothing can crush you. And when you know that, things change. Things change. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, that no one be moved by these afflictions, For you yourselves know that we are destined for these. Listen, just returning back to this saying, hey guys, this is what God put before you. When you trusted Christ, you trusted that his sufferings could certainly come upon you. Philippians chapter 1, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Listen, I don't want this to be a downer, okay? I don't want you to leave and say, well, I'm really depressed. Craig really, really, really made me feel bad about myself. And I'd have to say, good. Good. But are you feeling a little bit better about God? Are you praising him because you are his? Are you praising and rejoicing in him because there are people around you that are praying for you? Are you excited because even though you may be suffering, going through conflict, there are those who will hold you up and encourage you? Listen, I want you three things to remember, all right? Three things to remember. Our first defense against suffering is salvation. Again, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to do that. Suffering will come whether you're a believer or not. You have no resource other than yourself to withstand the suffering that is coming. But when you trust Christ, he's there for you. When you trust Christ, brothers and sisters are there for you. Secondly, and I don't want this to be, you know, like stalking or anything, but I thought this was important. Seek out someone. Seek out someone who knows Christ and has or is suffering greatly. We're a pretty transparent church here. We share a lot of stuff. You know the people that have suffered. You know the people that have gone through affliction. Go and seek them out. Just find out how they're doing. And trust me, the people that have suffered the most, that's exactly what Paul is saying here. The people that have suffered the most and have been comforted the most in Christ can comfort you. I hear story after story of pastors and church members going and visiting someone to comfort them, to encourage them, and what happens? They leave that place going, I went in just a little bit funky, man, and I came out praising God. Those who suffer the most can comfort the most. All right. Number three. And in this comfort, you will experience God's strength. If you're relying on your own strength, it ain't enough. It ain't enough to do it right. When you yield to him, God will make it right. He will stand by you. If he decides that your course is done, well, there ain't nothing you can do about it. But if he decides, like he did with Paul, get up, go to Iconium, go to Derbe. Get up, Paul. Go serve me. Go share. Go tell others what comfort really is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that when we are weak, you are strong. that when we cry, when our hearts are broken, when we feel oppressed and pressed down, when we just can't take one more moment, Lord, you are there. And when we give this to you, and we seek you and your comfort, that you will mercifully, graciously cover us with the comfort of Christ. We have to say amen. We have to say it's true. It's true, Lord. Because we've seen it. We've experienced it. We've heard about it. We've trusted it. So comfort us, Lord, so that we can comfort others. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.